All right, we're back. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN. By the way, during the, we have not talked about this on our show, but I got the Kia Telluride, and got a chance to, you know, take Jason for a little bit of a spin. And I'm just curious what your opinion is of the Kia Telluride.
They're very nice on the inside. Very spacious. Very sleek, very minivan-ish.
Yep.
And that is not to come off as a slight.
No.
When you're in it and you look back at the three rows and all the space, it reminded me of going to church in the minivan as little child.
But it's a minivan without the exterior of one. That was the whole key.
Well, it's much cooler looking than the minivan.
That's right.
But I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, you know, I know what you want.
Yeah.
It's cooler looking than a minivan.
Yeah.
Cool though, you're not going downtown and picking up chicks in it.
No, it's a
that
family
life,
vehicle.
Though is behind you, right?
100%. Yeah, I mean, if I was going to stay in that life, I'd have just got another Audi, you know. But I really didn't want to do the Audi thing again because I just didn't want to, like I said, pay $80,000 for a 3-row Audi.
But when you were in a, an Audi and even the station wagonish type or 3 rows or whatever, if you were in it solo, sometimes you pull up to a light. You're married. You're not looking for that,
exactly.
But you might still have a younger chick looking at you because it's an Audi.
I think so.
As opposed to this,
an Audi Q7 is a high-end luxury vehicle.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's Audi, you still might get that look.
Yeah.
Not gonna get it here.
No.
You're solo dolo in this junk.
Well, that's a Kia.
Right.
Yeah.
That's off top. Then again,
I wouldn't say it's gonna draw.
That was your old life, though.
Yeah.
That was the old John,
yeah,
so I just want
exactly.
to say.
No, I'm as married and fatherly as you could be.
So what your purpose is now in life?
That's right.
It's perfect.
That's right. Because eventually, like, you're going to have, like,
beautiful
sports equipment back there. You're going to have, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the balls.
Yep.
All Domo's balls. Why I want to call them Domo all the time? Domo.
Well, it's Domo. You know, I think that's, you know, our Nani says she doesn't like the Domo nickname because she thinks it sounds like Dumbo. But I like
Domo. I have to always go back and go, Dominic, Domo. My son says, Dad, you're stupid. It's just say Domo all the time. He has no problem is what he's trying to tell me with
it.
I have to say, because I want to just say
you're
Domo.
Like Domo. It's
but
Dojo.
I have to remind myself. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, all his balls.
Like Jeffrey Dahmer.
His
Domo.
Tennis racket. You don't need to keep bringing up Dahmer. Tennis racket.
You did retire those glasses.
Old golf clubs.
Yeah.
And they're not retired.
Okay.
They're right there.
All right.
You know, only when I've got the gold on.
Got it. Oh, okay. I see. They match.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and we did go to the gas station really quickly, and Jason was he did stay in the car. He was a little concerned about the potential of theft, because Kias do have that reputation. But I do think
older models with
the Telluride specifically, they have what they call, I want to say, an engine immobilizer. So it's an anti-theft system. Plus, it's a push to start. And so, you know, there's no ignition.
Well, Memphis thieves can steal anything.
That's fair.
So acting like we've just risen above their capabilities, probably naive.
Yeah. Okay? Right. I don't want to put it to the test.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yes, this one does seem more fortified than the old Kias.
That's right.
They weren't just going to get in and take me away.
That's right. Well, that would have been an adventure.
And I would have jumped out anyway.
You would have jumped out?
Take the car.
You would not have. Well, I need you to stay in there so you can call the cops.
You're not fighting for this minivan.
I need you to stay in there so you can keep
this disguised minivan
updated.
This sleek van.
That makes sense.
Man, I'm out because I know. You don't play with these.
That's
you don't
right.
play with these young folks these days, man.
That's right. That's why we stay in the cove, man.
But congratulations! It's
Thank
a great looking vehicle. It has that new smell that you just love.
That's right.
When it comes to new cars,
that's
and
right.
I'll get very spacious. You'll be able to have more kids.
There definitely is room for that because there's, I think, seats 7 or 8. So, anyway, a lot to get to, and appreciate you being in there and checking.
Nice
it out.
Nice little test ride.
That's
for
right.
Me.
That's yes. right. That's yeah. exactly right. All right, every day around this time we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, AAC, or the American Media Day, is going on as we speak. It's interesting because, you know, Tim Pernetti started the thing today by saying that, you know, he appreciates Memphis and understands Memphis' ambition, you know.
Can't act like it didn't happen.
That's right.
Right. So
that started the day. You know, he also downplayed the Memphis UTSA leaked playbook, you know, incident. So there's not much to this story. Some of it has been sensationalized, which I don't think it has been sensationalized at all. I think that's actually an unfair characterization of what it's been. If you want to say that it's much ado about nothing, that's one thing. But, you know, I think to accuse Sam Shoemaker of sensationalizing this, I think he's done the opposite, actually. He's presented the facts.
He's done a great job here, and there will always be a sort of dismissing or a trying to dismiss of these types of things. And, yeah, maybe you and I agree that in terms of the overall, you know, effect on the game,
minimal,
right? But certainly had an effect, but minimal. But this is good reporting here.
That's right.
And it's natural of a conference or coaches to try to downplay these things. No, great reporting here.
That's right.
By a young man.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, you know, Tim Pernetti's coming at this thing like, you know, Hotel California. You know, he's like, I understand the other schools have that ambition to leave. I know other schools, you know, have that ambition, but you can check out.
Good luck.
You can never leave. Mm-hmm. They're not taking you.
Yeah.
So I think he kind of feels very confident, you know.
Seems to.
And so, you know, that was an interesting sort
They're
of start
clearly
to the
working
day.
Behind his back.
That's right.
But maybe not so behind his back, because you figure Memphis is
the worst.
This is Memphis's history. What do you'd have to you'd be a naive commissioner if you think they, and all of a sudden, you know, if they've just stopped trying to get out of, you know, the American, not trying to get into a power conference.
That's right.
It's their history.
So that started the day. And then Ryan Silverfield has sort of spoken, not sort of spoken, he has spoken. And some of the things that, you know, he touched on was he said he was appreciative and proud of the fact that they were willing to swing and swing big on the Memphis Big 12. He said that the winner of this conference, without a doubt in my mind, should go to the college football playoff. And he again said that Brendan Lewis has not been named starting quarterback and that he knows he is in a quarterback competition despite the fact that he was brought to Media Day by Silverfield in Memphis. So that's the big thing for Media Day today.
Not responding again to you not having to respond to as many expectation questions, maybe because you don't have a poll. You know, if you're there to say, well, Ryan, you're picked third, what do you think of sort of those expectations? I'm sure he gave the company line. We expect to compete for a conference championship, but I don't know, man. I just hope they're not in there thinking a fourth or a fifth place finish is going to be okay.
Right.
It's not. It shouldn't be the expectation anymore. I'm with John that we should expect, even with a new quarterback, possibly a new-looking offense completely because of this new quarterback and his ability to run the ball, you should be top two in this league. You should be expecting to be in at least the conference championship game.
Yes.
Even in a reset season where most of your starters are new. We hold Penny to that standard.
Totally.
And he's frankly got new teams every year.
I guess they won't be doing a preseason poll either.
I don't know. Doesn't this have some root in the college football playoff and it coming back to bite you or something? I don't. On that side, there's no need in basketball to do this. I don't know. I have no idea because I'm not quite sure about if I grasp the reasoning for not doing these polls.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess their perspective would be everybody else is just
that it
ceasing
hurt
theirs.
Arizona State in some way last year. I mean, their start or what? Or I haven't grasped the why, nor have I cared. I've just looked at it sort of like you, man. This is soft.
Yeah, I think it's totally soft, and it's just again, it's tucking your tail between your legs. It's just cowardice, right? Like it's like, hey, we don't want to have these results thrown back in our face if our top teams don't do what we think they'll do or our media thinks they'll do. But you know, I think it's I'm agnostic towards the media poll, full believer in the market. So I would have used the market anyway, really, to form my opinion. But when you leave it just to the market. Which I think not every fan is going to look at or know about, I think you just hurt your league, you know, because now it's like, well, who's good in this league? Who's supposed to be, you know, I think it's good to have, hey, here was the preseason pick. This team was picked 11th. Look at how much they've overachieved. Like there are stories like that as well. Navy last year, you know, there have been other cases like that. You know, I think these coaches like could use those like, hey, we were picked 6th. We finished 3rd. That's, you know, that helps your negotiations. That helps now you don't have those. But they only come at it from the negative. They're like, well, what if I'm picked 2nd and I finish 5th and everybody wants me to lose my job? Well, people would want you to lose your job anyway because you can't fool people. You can't trick people into thinking that you're not as good as you're supposed to be, right? Like right. If you're Memphis, you're Ryan Silverfield, everybody knows that you are the most well-funded team in the American you're supposed to be, you know, a group of five darling every year. How many times has it been written that you're the best of the rest by, you know, Thamel, Dellinger, whoever? Bro, you don't get to hide. You're not going to be able to come up. If you finish fifth in the American next season, nobody's going to be fooled. It's not going to be like, well, you know, it was a full rebuild for us. So no, you're supposed to be one of the top two or three teams in this league annually, regardless, because you have, when you rebuild, you should still be able to have better rosters than everybody else because you have the most money. It's just that simple.
That's right.
So, you know, hiding the ball, which is what the American and other conferences are doing by not releasing this poll, it doesn't really achieve anything, because the smart people are going to be able to, you know, say, hey, they were third. Right now, Memphis is third in the odds. They're third in the odds in the American. They're third in the odds at Circa to make the playoff. Right? That's it. So that's how you and I, every day we come in here and talk about this damn team, that's how we're going to talk about them. That they're a top three team and the best of the rest and a top three team in the American. And anything short of that should be viewed and will be a disappointment. I don't care who it is. I don't care who the starter is. One hamstring, Cortland Marsh. It don't matter. You know, I mean, this is, but you want that smoke. You should want that smoke because you have the most money, you know?
Well, Memphis should be in a position now where it's competing to get the best quarterback outside the power structure.
Yep.
So if you got anybody coming out of it, right, coming out of the power structure and coming down, you should be in on those guys. You should have that quarterback. You should be battling Tulane and Boise State and keeping that guy away from them. You're essentially recruiting against them, against the Boise States, to me, you know, in the position that you're in, because you have that much money now. You have that level of commitment from Fred Smith, from FedEx,
yep,
you know, with this NIL deal that goes, mostly the majority of which goes to football. So
absolutely.
Yeah, you need to be maximizing that. We've said it over and over again. It's the reason Ryan Silverfield's going to continue to have good rosters. We can say, yeah, he's been great recruiting. There's a reason for that.
Yep.
You know, besides his energy and all that, yeah, it's the checks that he can, you know, give to these players right now. And you need to get a conference title appearance out of it sooner than later.
I mean, yeah, it needs to be now.
Now.
Honestly. Anyway, AAC Media Day going on in Charlotte, and Ryan Silverfield has spoken.
Curious to think what you think about this. The Steelers yesterday, Omar Khan said he was, and pretty confidently too, earlier this week, that he was building a Super Bowl contender and felt like he's got a team that can win one. And Aaron Rodgers was asked about that and said, essentially, of Khan's comments, this, and not essentially, I'll read it word for word. I think most of the 32 teams would probably say something to that accord at this time of year, but I think there's really only 6 to 8 that really have a legitimate chance. Sometimes it's 10 to 12, and there's teams that surprise you, but I would say on paper, we're probably one of those 10 to 12. Is Aaron Rodgers lying through his teeth when he says that the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the 10 to 12 teams that can win a Super Bowl this year, or does he truly believe it? What say you?
Well, first of all, I would say I don't think there are 10 to 12 teams that can win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's way too many teams.
This year?
That's half the league, damn near. I mean, I don't think a third of the NFL is serious.
I'm with you, and he says that most of the time it's 6 to 8.
Exactly.
Which is probably a number closer to yours.
So you got the top three. You got the top three in the AFC, Bills, Chiefs, Baltimore. And then in the NFC you got
Philly. I don't know about Detroit.
Right. You don't know about Detroit. Washington, come on.
San Fran, I would have put in that category
come on
a couple years ago.
Come on. They're not
but
there.
I don't know anymore.
So the NFC is weak.
Kinda is.
It just is.
Kinda is.
They're, you know, the Vikings.
We'd probably need to put Detroit in there, but they haven't done it.
I mean, basically, it's your division, right? Like, I mean, it's the Vikings, the Bears, the Packers, and the Lions.
Yeah. If you believe in JJ McCarthy, he is a rookie quarterback, basically.
Kind of feels like this would be a good year for the Packers to do something. You know,
it does feel like this is certainly a year where they should pass the Vikings.
Because I heard Justin Jefferson basically saying, you know, JJ McCarthy's still a rookie.
That's he is.
You know. So and that
a rookie who didn't – the guy did not throw much at Michigan.
That's exactly right. So he's like a rookie. Yes, rookie.
Come in and be prolific all of a sudden. You know, Sam Darnold, yes, the system may be good for quarterbacks. There's no question it was for Sam Darnold, best year of his career. But
yep,
that don't mean J.J. McCarthy's going to come right in there and doing that.
Yep, he's a rookie, man. So, Yeah.
Green Bay should pass Minnesota this year. They should.
Yeah, it's not 10-12. So no, I don't agree with Aaron Rodgers. I know he's. I know he knows he's full.
Would
of
you tell Calvin Austin that to his face? I think you'd have to, wouldn't you?
I love Calvin. I want good things
for
Calvin.
We want good things. We want him to get his next contract, which is going to happen. But it's hard to say that he's on a team that could win a Super Bowl. Can you win the division that you're in? There's even that question.
That's right.
Right. What are we talking about? I mean, as good as
I assume Baltimore's been third in the odds. That would be my guess. They'd be behind, even with Cincinnati's defense. I assume they'd be behind Cincinnati. Could be wrong on that, but I just feel like Burrow's going to get the nod over that Pittsburgh, you know, mystery right now. So, yeah,
to see what the books say on that. I would lean Cincy because of Burrow, but they do get off to slow starts, and their defense.
Well, you know,
bad.
They announced they're playing.
They're
going to
play him in the preseason,
for that reason.
But what I'm saying on their issue is not quarterback play. We can say maybe the starts have been some of that. Their issue is defense. They couldn't stop anything last year. And so this idea that an adjustment to Joe Burrow, didn't he get hurt in the preseason that one year? I mean, a couple of years ago, this idea that that's the fix. The fix for Cincinnati is to finally get focused on defense now that you got all your offensive guys pay. Get it to a level that's decent enough that Joe doesn't have to score every time out there.
But all
we're saying by playing him in the preseason, get ready to have to score every time out there.
Right.
That's what we're saying, what we're expecting of him.
Right.
And we're going to start you earlier to get you ready to do that.
Right.
A team that's not serious about – hadn't even signed their draft pick, man. You know, a defensive selection.
Yeah, so the odds are Ravens minus 150, Bengals plus 250, Steelers plus 480.
So was.
So they're third by a pretty good margin. Offense. But I mean, look, I mean, is there a path to finishing second in that division? Sure, but
how can they win be a Super Bowl contender when they're third in their division?
Right,
in a division that I don't think I think after the top one, there's some uncertainty all the way through those last three.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, again, like we talk about the pack, like this should be a year where Cincinnati makes waves again. I know their defense is bad;
they're not gonna make it without Hendrickson.
Can it be as bad as it was a year ago? Can it really be that bad again?
If you don't have the league sack leader, yes, it can be worse.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible.
It was awful with us, the guy who's led the league the last 2 years in sacks.
Because you want to talk about a guy being wasted, Seth Hennigan wasted in Memphis, Joe Burrow being wasted in Cincinnati.
Wasted.
Because, I mean,
you had to do get a couple stops, dude. That's
prime
what we're
years.
Saying.
Prime years. You know, what's he? He's 28 already. I mean.
No, he's Dan Marino. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Are you going to get him back to the bowl? You're going to get him to a Super Bowl.
Damn, that's kind of nuts.
Just get the defense doesn't have to be good or dominant like a Baltimore defense. It just has to be decent. And you've already got to start with the sack leader. Mm. You should be able to get enough around him to get Joe Burrow back to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
What are we talking about here?
Yep. Did you know?
They are wasting him.
That Joe Burrow has only been a Pro Bowler twice? Kind of nuts. I know he's been injured and stuff, but only two times has he been in the Pro
when
Bowl.
When he got injured, did he not get injured in the preseason?
You talking about
that one? Was that his first or second year, whatever it was?
I don't think it was. I don't think it was preseason. Uh-huh. He did get hurt last year in the preseason, and that hampered him all, you know, for the first couple months of the season.
Yeah, I knew. I remember that. I guess that initial injury happened during the year, huh?
What was that? What was
his earliest injury?
The 2020, right? That was his rookie year. Yeah, it was week 11.
Okay.
Week 11 during against the Washington football team, PCL tear and meniscus.
Yeah.
But again, he's already 28. So, you know, I guess you got T. Higgins and Jamar under contract, so you feel like, hey, we can still keep this thing going, but.
Again, it's like I said, you're just revving him up earlier, saying, okay, you're going to be ready to be perfect week one because you're going to have to be with this defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair to Joe and that offense, but that's where they've put their money. That's who they've paid, T and Jamar and Joe. So they have to come through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, I do not think, to answer your question, that
there were a team that could win a Super Bowl this year.
I think they are contenders to finish second in the AFC or in the AFC North, but not with the dance.
Agreed.
But I guess you have to talk like that. What are you going to say? I'm here to be 9-8 again.
Well, and they got pretty good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, then Watt signed up and happy.
Yeah.
And he's not the kind of guy who's going to let off effort wise because he got his money. We know that about him. So No, they've got a Super Bowl type caliber defense, probably. It's whether or not Aaron Rodgers can be Aaron Rodgers with an offensive line that's questionable, oh, by the way. So we'll see how they his protection is going to be a key to how good they can be.
Yep. All right, the great one has weighed in. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Hulk Hogan passed away yesterday at the age of 71. We wondered when The Rock would weigh in. He has done that. He did what I promised you he would do. He spaced out his social media post. First, Instagram. 7 hours later, this morning, X. The man is a genius. I mean, even on a death tribute farewell, my man going to make sure he gets the because if you post them both at the same time, you know, you take one from the other.
Mm.
You know, you space them out. All right, 7 hours for this audience, 7 hours for that audience, and we get the most engagement possible. But, he wrote, "Rest in peace, Terry Bollea, a.k.a. the immortal Hulk Hogan, to millions of little kids. You were a childhood hero, myself included." He told a story about how he gave his Hulkster headband back to him in the locker room at Madison Square Garden. He caught it in the crowd, and he gave it to him. According to The Rock, Hulk was so shocked and happy after the match because it was his very last headband. And if it weren't for The Rock, he'd have no way of getting that exact one made again. And he promised The Rock that he would get more made and give him a Hulkster headband of his own as a thank you gift. And a month later in MSG, he did that.
He did.
He kept his word with a handshake and a thanks, kid. And then, of course, you know, The Rock went on to become the greatest. And he said, just 17 years later, and still a kid at the age of 29, I'm standing in the middle of the ring and facing you, one of my wrestling heroes in the main event of WrestleMania. The match was to decide who would go down in history as the greatest of all time. When you kick out of my rock bottom finisher, just listen and feel that crowd go electric all for you. I've never felt anything like that in my entire career. It takes two to tango, but that historic crowd reaction was all you. You may have passed the torch to me that night, but you, my friend, you drew the house, meaning you sold out every arena and stadium across the country in your prime as Hulk Hogan on your way of becoming the greatest of all time. From deep in my bones and on behalf of this wild and crazy world of professional wrestling that we love, I say to you now and forever, thank you for the house, brother. So that was The Rock's tribute on Instagram and X. So, look, obviously it's very personal to The Rock because, you know, we said this yesterday, and I think it's sort of reflected in his words, there is no Rock without Hulk Hogan. There is no Rock without – there is no Stone Cold without – I mean, there's no professional wrestling as we know it today without Hulk Hogan. Right. But, you know, it was interesting that there was – you know, I don't know if this is because of his involvement in WWE today, you know, that he decided not to go there, but he focused only on the wrestling piece of it, which is just notable. I'm not here to tell somebody how they should eulogize a human being, but he chose to focus on the wrestler, and he did not focus necessarily on the person, which, again, was a choice.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you know, it's not our jobs to judge man. You know, I'm a guy who's obviously a deacon in church, all that.
Right.
Ultimately, we're not going to have the final say. Now, as I told Jeff, if you want to spit on his grave and say good riddance and go to hell about Hulk Hogan, you're right, perfectly entitled to do that, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. And then we can get into those conversations, but who am I to tell you how to feel about Hulk Hogan? Who are you to tell me how to feel about him? I think we handled it correctly and honestly yesterday, in that we said it's layered and complicated. You know, there's some pros to Hulk Hogan and his legacy, and he was as American as apple pie there for a little while when he had Mr. T and Muhammad Ali all in the ring, and he's fighting Andre the Giant, WrestleMania. I mean, what are we talking about here? We were all behind him, and yeah, he was exposed for being a racist, admitting to being a racist. He also apologized for it. We talk about, you know, where does grace come in? We've seen, and I'm not going to name them, but we've seen our sports characters here in Memphis, Tennessee, run into legal trouble or whatever else it is, and some of them we sort of define those players by some of those troubles, and some we give them a pass because they've apologized and moved on with their lives and become something different and refuse to be identified by those low moments. So it is interesting that The Rock, again, who we said he wouldn't be The Rock, he wouldn't be who he is, he wouldn't have all the success if not for Hogan, he mostly focused on Hogan paving the way for him. He didn't focus on the flaws, the, you know, what was exposed about him, the negative things about Hulk. He could have. He did not. I'm not going to sit up here and say he judged him wrongly or incorrectly for it. That was his view of Hulk. He's entitled to it. I just don't know why we needed the story about the headband.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to sit up here like Ron Burgundy, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. I could be wrong for doing so. I might be going to hell, but I don't believe you.
Yeah, so
12? He was 12. George, I didn't hear you. What'd you mouth?
I said that is a perfect tell your story.
Now, John, you're going to help me here, because it would have been 1984.
Mm-hmm.
At Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
The Rock is 12. Probably a bigger 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Maybe even in the front because of who his dad is. But he says he's in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Hulkster throwing it out there.
Yep.
The fight. Right? It would have been to get it.
Right.
Now, maybe he is coming out of there with it. Do we really think Hulk Hogan then said to the 12-year-old boy, "You saved me. It was my last one I could have ever had made. I thank God for you bringing it back to me. I will reward you later, 12-year-old boy," and then do it a month later?
Now, what I will say is that The Rock has told this story before. This is
while
not,
Hulk was alive.
While he was alive.
And so there would have been time for Hulk to shoot it down.
He told it in 2002 in advance of their match.
Got to be embellished.
At Fan Access. And he talked about, you know, catching the headband. In fact, you know what? I'm going to send you this. It's a 46-second
Good.
Clip.
Maybe I shouldn't be trying to debunk this.
Because, you know, I do want to... This is my guy now.
We didn't need this. And if he's not... if he's not lying, we need to set the record straight. And apparently, you're going to do that.
Yeah, well, it's not me. It's but I see...
Hulk's there telling the story. I think that's what I need.
This is very rare footage because Fan Access was, like, not televised, right? Like, it was not really a... you know, it wasn't a Raw, it wasn't a SmackDown. It's like, you know, one of their little spinoff events.
Okay.
And had he not told this, I'd have felt a little bit different about the story. But do we have it, George? This is The Rock in 2002 about Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
But, so, okay, yeah, there's some embellishment. There's the embellishment.
Oh.
There's the embellishment. There was no thanks, kid. This is the last I've ever had made.
I have sniffed this out.
Yeah, that's where
the embellishment was.
Yes.
Because I do, and listening to that, I can hear there's some truth in his story about getting this thing, showing Dad in the locker room.
Right.
But will you read the tweet again about that, the difference in that part of the story?
Yeah. So so he said that, of course, this is The Rock's tribute to Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
After he passed away. And he said that in this 1984 Madison Square Garden event, he caught the headband, and that Hulk was so shocked and so happy after the match because you told me that was your very last headband, and if it weren't for me, you'd have no way of getting that exact one made again. You promised me that you would get more made and give me a Hulkster headband of my own as a thank you gift. Now, let me ask you this. Maybe, where is he embellishing? Is he embellishing in the Instagram post, or is he embellishing in this event where it probably behooves him, to, as he's promoting this match with Hogan, to act like he was an ass? You see what I'm saying, George? Like, it would actually be kayfabe to act like the Hulk big timed him as he's about to be in this match with him, you know, and kind of get the crowd going. Like, I think he can be served in both cases to embellish. There is an embellishment somewhere.
You're trying to protect your man.
There's an embellishment.
You hold him up
on such a
high pedestal.
There's an embellishment somewhere.
He
I don't know where it is.
He says in the story, all innocent.
Yes. Yes.
The man walked off from me. He was all done. I gave him back to him.
In the access.
In the first.
It, yes.
That was the first time, one of the first times he told.
In 2002.
And weirdly, he said, "Hulk's going to kill me for telling the story."
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, all right, he did. Right. He threw that in there.
Right, right. That's true. He did.
Hulk's going to kill me for telling me how
that he
really acted here.
The great
that
one.
He big-timed me. He's going to kill me. And then we get a completely different story about him telling you he needed this headband. Thank you, young man. What are you talking about? We've caught him in the lie. We have caught him in almost embellishment.
Embellishment. Fish story.
Yes.
A fish story.
Lie might be strong.
He did catch the headband. You do agree with that? You feel comfortable with that?
He might have caught it in the hallway outside the locker room. I'm not sure he caught it among a throng of fans. I don't know. But he did have Hulk's headband. I believe that.
Yeah.
It might have been on the ground by the.
But the whole it does seem like the whole this was the last one that will ever be made.
Oh my! That, and that's the part that was sending up my sensors.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, Hulk? Can't Hulk's got boxes of these things?
That's right.
Now and he can have another made tomorrow.
Now, unfortunately, Hulk is no longer here to tell us the truth.
And he thought we wouldn't have the audio from the first time he told that story. But you are a sleuth. And unfortunately, you've helped expose your man instead of helped pull him out of this.
I mean, what can I do?
I mean, he told one story back then and then a completely different one at Hulk's death.
He did. He did.
This man said Hulk thanked me, the 12-year-old.
Now, look, we're all saints in death, aren't we? I mean, that's the idea. It's like we're all, you know, when we die, we're all saints. That we maybe we're romanticized and made better.
And they're wrestlers, and that's what they do.
That is literally their job.
Part of their whole existence and comeuppance is the
theater of the mind.
Things. The show.
That's the show. And so The Rock did a little show in that Instagram post, right? He did. He did. Doesn't make him a bad... Look, this is about Hulk, man. It's not about The Rock.
I told you I was right to be Ron Burgundy on that story. I don't believe you.
Well, it's pretty amazing that there's video from 2002 on YouTube about this. You know? I mean, it really is amazing how much stuff is on the internet. It never fails to amaze me. But I thought, wow. Again, really, really nice words. And apparently, I got to go back and watch this match because... I always kind of looked at it as like, I mean, the crowd was crazy. That's what made it, right? I mean, the crowd was insane. But the match itself, it felt like was not that great.
I loved that stuff. I thought he should have saying that you sort of gave them to me. You gave the, what is it? What's the way you put
Thank
it?
Thank you for the house.
Yeah, that you gave the house to me that night. Yeah. You passed the torch to me.
Right.
I thought that alone was what was enough for the tweet. I was moved by the way he talked about that match. So I'm with you, bro. You need to pull out the popcorn and cigars, go back and watch it, bro. You probably get all the old feels.
Well, I think I'll just I don't want to do it. I don't
there
smoke in the house.
Okay, well, you know, you can put the TV outside or something. You know how it is out there in G-Town.
The full match is on YouTube.
Okay.
So you could go watch it if you were so inclined.
No need.
But it's a lot
because,
of
again, one is a liar, the other is an exposed racist
and dead.
One time was part of American, you know.
No, but you said you forgave
Americana.
Him,
I did. I'm going to hell according to some for forgiving him.
Jeez.
But you will not judge me.
I'm not judging you.
No, not you. Oh. Them.
Well, like, I will say a thing about this match that you, I think would have instantly turned you off, and I'm kind of watching it as we're talking now. It's like, it's a lot of that slow.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's what pushed me away.
It is, man. It. Now, The Rock's doing the best he can. He's working hard, but I mean, that clothesline from Hogan swinging awfully slow. I mean, it's just not exactly the most. I mean, look, this was 2002, so he was. What was that, 23? So he was still, you know, in his 50s.
Did Booker T forgive him?
Did Titus O'Neil forgive him? I mean, there's a lot of people that I think.
Because they said he went into a room, right, and asked for forgiveness, or was when they brought him back.
I mean, you know.
A room of wrestlers, I'm assuming, a locker room that's going to have black men in it.
My guess is we won't really know the answers to that until like after his death, because it's probably taboo to say, if you're in that locker room still, I don't forgive Hulk Hogan,
right.
The Hall of Famer, the face of wrestling. You probably can't, so we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I think they probably didn't feel confident enough to talk about it and to speak on it.
No,
true feelings.
My name, if he crossed you or whatever, you got reasons to like hate the man and dismiss him and tell him go to hell and you despise racism by all means. But the folks that are doing it, I feel like in our culture now, with those of us that maybe even, you know, have grown up with him, whatever, might not feel as strongly about it. We'll go out there and hang him out, right? Put that post up about, you know, what a terrible man. Not so much for us, but for the world, right? Looking for likes and everything else so we can join in what we call it, mob mentality, whatever else it is. When we realize that it's a as we said, it's a complex discussion on Hulk Hogan. Clearly some ills and some bad stuff in there. But again, at one time, he's one of the most recognizable people in the United States.
And by the way, like, he is, I think,
as mainstream as it is.
I think he's the proud owner of, like, the most one-sided contract in the history of sports. The contract he signed with WCW in 1996, I mean, you just can't believe how much money they paid him.
Really?
Like, honestly, it was like he had a pay-per-view buy stake. He had, like, 20% merch stake. he had minimums. Like, you're going to, I'm going to make 6 pay-per-view appearances a year and you're going to pay me minimum this or 20% of the buys, you know, whichever comes first, right? And like a $2 million signing bonus. I'm thinking, this is 96, right? It was just, and there was a lot more. Like, you go look up his contract with WCW. I mean, it was like, how did they give this man? They gave him, like, the company, it felt like. They wanted him that badly. And to their credit, like, I mean, they didn't make it because they probably paid him too much, but they were on top of the, on the professional world for, what, 83 weeks in a row with Hogan? So, I mean, this decision was good. It was just they didn't really have the money to pay that they had to pay. I mean, it was a nuts. Seriously, you should look at it. I mean, it's like, forget Bobby Bonilla. Like, this contract is outrageous. Like, for a guy, one wrestler, to have this much stake in this company just so they could have him.
Right.
And again, at that time, just astronomical numbers, man. Just crazy. You know, I don't know. I would doubt The Rock at his peak in WWE probably wasn't making that money. Would that be my guess? I mean, it's just, you know, he didn't have ownership stake in the company. That's for damn sure. Pay-per-view buys, probably not. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, The Rock has weighed in on Hulk and given his tribute, and maybe, yes, guilty of embellishing. And again, you're gonna have to figure out, you know, do you forgive him? Do you forgive The Rock for embellishing?
Well, I forgave the Hulk. I'm a forgiving person.
There you go. Yeah. All right, tell you this. You will not forgive yourself if you don't use Black Tie Moving, if you are going to be on the move. 316-6196 is the phone number. They're the best in Memphis. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to be pros. They're going to stay on the budget that you guys agree to. You'll be so happy that you went with my friends at Black Tie Moving. I know, because I've used them twice, and I was very, very happy that I did. Made that move very easy, stress-free, and that's what it's all about. But you got to get on the schedule. Make the call. Get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Black Tie Moving. Change and move in the city of Memphis. Call today. If you're going to be buying a car, go to the dealership with the rate. Get pre-approved, okay? It's very, very, very simple. If you're looking to buy a car, don't know where to start, Leaders Credit Union is happy to help you with that. Don't just take their word for it. One of their members, Zach, said, Leaders made our car buying experience a breeze. The loan process was one of the easiest I've gone through and made the entire car buying process less stressful. So what are you waiting for? Let Leaders get you in that new car today. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to get started. Leaders is your financial champion for life. Federally insured by the NCUA. All right, we're back. Jason and John, Turner FM, ESPN. And I will say this. Like, you know, we talk about the lease with the Grizzlies, and, you know, we're so obsessed with, you know, getting it done before 2029 and you know, just ensuring and locking in that future here with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
New Orleans is going through something very similar. And New Orleans, unlike Memphis, has national media members like Bill Simmons saying that they should be moved. Mm-hmm. Like, New Orleans is catching that.
The issue is the Benson family owns the Saints,
Correct.
You're talking about moving out a family.
That's right.
You're going to be asking to stay in town.
That's right.
On the NFL side. So.
Now, they may have more political will to do that, right?
Maybe so.
They may say, because the complaint about the Pelicans is that they're not run well.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Because they're not run well. You could run it a little better. Maybe you get them a little bit more. Right.
Exactly.
No, yeah, that's the charge.
Because, like, honestly, if you have an NFL franchise and an NBA franchise, which one are you going to be paying more attention to? You're going to be paying more attention to that NFL franchise. And that's what they do. And even that, I would guess that the Saints fans would say is not run well, you know, given the last few years. But
is it still Smoothie King? That place is a dump.
So, yeah, so it's interesting. So I saw this tweet from Retro Pels, who said, it's July 25th, 2025, and we have zero updates on Smoothie King Center renovations. Pels and Saints ownership and the LSED, which is the state agency in charge of the arena and the Superdome, were publicly fighting over just $11 million in renovations last year. The Pels lease expires, like the Grizzlies, in 2029.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it doesn't, I mean,
they're fighting over who's going to pay $11 million for renovations? Those aren't serious renovations. Those aren't.
That was for the Superdome last year.
Oh,
so,
okay. Oh.
So the person's point is that they were fighting over $11 million renovations for the Superdome, which is the NFL team.
Yeah.
Let alone the Smoothie King Center, which is the NBA team, which stinks, And, you know, it's anybody's guess as to how much they care about it, you know, in terms of keeping it in New Orleans. So I just kind of have my eye on what's going on down there, because obviously I don't want any small markets to lose their team, but it does feel like the sentiment down there is very different than the sentiment here in Memphis, right? Like Bill Simmons was on there. I don't have the clip, but Bill, maybe I can find it and send it to our man George. But he was basically like, basketball has never worked there in New Orleans. Like, it just hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things where if you have Seattle that needs a team and we're not going to expand, well, who makes sense, you know, to trade? Now, again, or not to trade, but to relocate. I don't want anybody to lose their team. But if it comes down to it, yes, I would rather New Orleans go to Seattle.
Yeah. I would point to, on Simmons' point, look how poorly it's been run of late. And listen, when they got Zion in that draft, there was a lot of buzz. And again, that was based in the hope that this guy's going to come in and turn around our organization. But the ticket sales went through the roof and everything else. They really felt like they had a superstar and thought they had some. But you look at what's happened and how unfortunate it is with injury and everything else, and then some of the poor decision-making. Even if I wanted to, I would have no sort of belief in their leadership or anything else with the way they've, you know, stars Anthony Davis gone. What did we get? What became of that? This iteration of us looks terrible. So I wouldn't have any belief in it, but I would more lean toward New Orleans basketball has made some pretty bad decisions and sort of killed itself.
It has.
Any chance it had of being good down there.
Yeah.
It'll never work.
Right.
In New Orleans.
They've only won two playoff series in 23 years.
So you've given them nothing.
I sent you that Bill Simmons clip because I do think, like, he's sort of pushing this. Now, he also was out there on Front Street saying that the NBA is not going to expand as soon as people think. So this is why I'm giving this a little bit more credibility than just Bill Simmons, like an NBA boy saying that the Pelicans should relocate because they stink.
Right.
Because it seems like he must have the ear or the lips of somebody in there that knows what's going on. Do we have this clip? This is Bill Simmons from his podcast talking about the Pelicans. Yeah, again, you could see a nightmare scenario where that instead of New Orleans, that word is Memphis. Memphis' lease expires in 2029. Memphis is a team that might be more successful in a different place.
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't talk about Memphis. He talks about New Orleans.
Now, sound like he could have talked about us, though.
He could have.
I thought I heard franchises.
No, he said franchises. He said
specifically, like,
yeah,
you know,
he did. He said franchises.
Sound like he could have gone right on and included us as well.
Yeah, but I mean,
we're not a 50-year experiment.
That's right. We're just a 20-year experiment.
We're
for
a 20-year. Stern has always, you know, he loved the idea. Maybe Silver's not as hot on it, but
yeah,
still though, the NBA seems to appreciate having
that's right
a team here.
That's right. But
it would have to if you're not expanding,
have to be two.
Still got to be two because you want to
keep it even.
Seattle, yeah. And Vegas is the hub, right, that must have one.
And those two teams are Western Conference teams.
Yeah.
New Orleans and Memphis are Western Conference teams.
You're two lowest in terms of valuations in the league. Now both over a billion, well
that's
over
right
a billion, but
right
at the bottom.
Yeah.
In the markets.
No,
too,
I mean, I'm sleeping with one eye open until this all gets finished, right? Like, obviously, I'm not panicking. I'm not doing alarmism. Again, I'm happy that Bill Simmons is focusing on New Orleans as opposed to Memphis because that's just another headline that we don't need. You know, we don't need another headline of the Ringers. Bill Simmons says the Grizzlies aren't working in Memphis and can move to and be better in Seattle. We don't need that right now.
I just think that ultimately, if these final sticking points are we want a safer Beal or we want a better look out there, a better downtown right outside of it, all those things in the end are good for Memphis, right? It's not just good for the Grizzlies, right? Don't we want that for downtown?
Yes.
Again, of course we want a Grizz team that's making the playoffs and everything else, but a safer downtown, one with more of a police presence, one that you want to get down to because the experience right outside the front of FedEx Forum is a family fun experience. Beale Street now, family, you know, that's good for all of us. So if the Grizzlies are holding the city to a higher account when it comes to that, and that's what we're going to get, that we should all be patient here.
Yes.
And let it, because that's a better Memphis. That's a better downtown
the
Memphis.
The interests are aligned.
100%.
So that helps.
So rather than looking at them as the big bad Grizz that are holding us over a barrel.
Right.
In the end, probably what they want here to stay, you know, to iron this thing out is good for Memphis, not just in keeping them, but
absolutely
in terms of what that play, what downtown's going to look like. I mean, Paul, you know, has essentially said that. Where I think he clearly made the mistake was trying to put a timeline on this.
Yeah.
you know, for you know, with an organization that isn't doing any talking whatsoever.
Right, right, yeah. So anyway, just an interesting little thing that's going on down there in New Orleans. They're bickering about $11 million for the Superdome. Doesn't necessarily bode well for, you know, because again, they're going to use Seattle and Vegas' existence as well, you know.
I've been in a harder time with that. What does 11 do for the...
But I guess...
What have 11 done, even arguing over, I know it's a separate subject, but what does 11 do for, of any kind of renovations do for a Superdome?
No doubt.
Like a couple of rows of seats?
And you know,
as big as that thing is.
It's interesting that you'd have to, the Benson family, it feels like, would have to sell the team before they moved, right?
Unless they're just interested in doing it from out of town and being worth more. And maybe you are. But most don't want to seem to do that, right? But at that point, you want to sell it off and have something.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, I guess Para does it from out of town.
But I will say, I mean, you're going to be worth more in those cities, right? All of a sudden, what you own is worth more in Vegas.
Right.
I'm assuming it's worth more in Seattle. Again, you know, that New Orleans market is them in Memphis right there at the bottom of the NBA markets.
Right.
So selling it, yeah. And then you're pouring it all into your one football team. It makes sense to sell it at a higher price, you know, at a higher price in another city. I wouldn't. And maybe you want to keep it, let it keep going up. We know it's going to keep going up. But no, if you're the Bensons, my guess is you're going to be asked and pressed to sell.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, you know, there's, Simmons talked about Las Vegas, Seattle, and he talked about Mexico City. So, and then, you know, the NBA is, the other part of it is the NBA seems very focused on adding a European team, like a European league, I should say, which I find very interesting. But it just depends, like, what's their priority? Like, are they prioritizing the league over the European league over the relocation? And, you know, it seems like maybe, but I don't know. It would be nice. It would be really nice if Adam Silver came out and said, we're not looking at relocation. It'd be really nice if he said that. But he's probably not going to say that because he knows his owners need things too from their current municipalities. OKC needed a new arena.
Mm-hmm.
The Grizzlies.